On October the 14th, I flew to Guadalajara, Mexico to visit Julio, who was here last Sunday, and I preached in his church that night because I happened to be there. But actually, the reason I made that trip is because a friend who has a business there as well as other places was going to be in Guadalajara. He had heard me talking about the church, and he called me one day and said, I'm going to be in Guadalajara on November the 14th. If you could come, I would like you to take me, introduce me to this pastor friend that has the church that I hear you talking about. I might want to be of some help with that church. I'd like to see about it. And so, for that reason, I went that day to Guadalajara. Now, I shared in the first service, so I'll go and share it again. You know, most of you know that if I'm in a room or if I'm somewhere where there's a lot of background noise, I have a very difficult time hearing. And because of that, Dottie never likes me to go, like, travel by myself. Because what happens, I get in an airport and I can't tell what flight they're boarding. I don't know what's going on. It's just so much noise. But I assured Dottie that I would be okay to go to Intercontinental Airport and get on a plane and get to Guadalajara. Because when I got off the plane in Guadalajara and went through what you have to go through to get out of the airport, there stood Julio. I said, Dottie, Julio will be standing there waiting on me. Like, Dottie just thinks I'm over the hill, I think. I don't know what she thinks. And I said, I'll be with Julio the whole time, and then I'm going to meet my friend who's going to be staying in the very same hotel I'm in, and he'll be with me getting me to the church that night, and then he'll be getting me back to the hotel, and then he's going to get me the next day, later on in the day, back to the airport. He'll be on a different flight, but we'll actually be in the airport together. So with fear and trembling, Dottie said, you know, do your best. But anyway, I go. Now, here's what happened. We go to the church. Now, Julio shared last Sunday morning, their Wednesday night service starts at 8:30. That's a little past my bedtime. 8:30, they start church. And you get up to preach about 9:10, 9:15. And I preached about 30, 35 minutes. I mean, it's moving on toward 10 o'clock at night. And Julio mentioned last Sunday morning when I stopped my sermon, he said, can you not preach longer? Well, what else could I do? I thought, well, next time I'll send John. he'll take care of the situation. So I took a deep breath and preached about 10 or 15 more minutes. I'm just completely exhausted. And it was a great service. And then my friend who had gone down to meet this Julio and all, he took us, we went back, he had a guy driving him and got us back to the hotel. Now, it's getting up like, it's getting towards like midnight. And my friend, like, goes to bed around 6 p.m. He goes to bed early. Well, it's about midnight. Well, we sit in the lobby and begin to just talk about things. And the next thing I know, 2 o'clock in the morning, we're in the lobby of this hotel. And I said to him, we best go to bed. And so I went to my room. He went to his room. Now, I share that to say this. I'm so keyed up now. Do you ever have this happen to you? I'm so keyed up with the service, what's happening, what God's doing. A couple of hours with a dear, dear friend, and we're talking about how we can be involved in things with God. I go back to my room, and I think, there's no way. If I get in the bed, I'll just stare at the ceiling. I thought, well, I'll just read my Bible a little bit and pray, and I began to do that, and the most wonderful thing happened. It was well after 4 a.m. that morning that I closed my Bible, but what happened to me is God began to speak to me, and I looked over on the nightstand in the hotel room, and here's the hotel little, and you know, they have these little pads if you stay in a hotel. And I began to write down things I felt God saying to me. And I filled up that page, and I filled up that page, and I filled up that page. I mean, this is not like a sermon. This is just stuff that's happening here. And I've hung on to this thing. Now, I share this because it's really the foundation of what I want to share with you this morning. God impressed upon me what probably is the biggest struggles that I have in my spiritual life. and I think it will be likewise for you. So with that little background, let me shift gears and do this. As I thought about what I would be doing this morning, I thought, you know, it would be so interesting to have in a bulletin a tear-out, blank tear-out, and say, like in the 11 o'clock service, y'all see this blank tear-out in the bulletin? Would you just take it and write down what you think is the greatest struggle you have in your life about a sin? What is it? What sin is it? No signature, just what is it? I mean, it could be lack of faith, it could be bad thoughts, it could be 100 things. But and then take all these up. Nobody signs their name now. And we've taken an oath, we're going to tell the truth. Nobody will know who turned it in. Then we'll gather them up, do the same thing in the 9:30 service to see if those sinners have the same problem that we sinners have, okay? See what we're up against out here. And then the following Sunday, announce to the church, nobody's name, we don't know, but what was the number one thing people turned in, that more than any other, what was it? I thought about that, and I thought that would be a good promotion for High Attendance Sunday. Hey, like put an ad in the Chronicle, put some radio spots on, put on Facebook. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, First Baptist Pasadena will announce its members' greatest sin. I don't know if that would fill the building or empty the building, but it would do whatever it would do. Now, having said that, let me say this. Listen carefully. All these things that we would write down as our number one sin, actually, they are the result of our greatest sin. And I'm convicted that as Christian people, our greatest sin is a lack of closeness to God caused by a lack of daily time with God. Now, that's going to be on the screen. Keep it on the screen for a moment, if you will. Now, there's nowhere in the bulletin to write because we have the morning prayer, and for a reason. I'll be back. But above the morning prayer, would you look, please? There is at the very top a shaded light blue area. You can write down what you see on the screen right now. I'm convicted that God convicted me for me, and then we're all in the same deal. Our greatest sin is a lack of closeness to God. There's not a person in this room that wouldn't say, I need to be closer to God. We're all in the same boat. It's our greatest sin. It's a lack of closeness to God caused by a lack of daily time with God. And all these things we would write down are a result of this one little thing right here. If you get your daily time with God right, you will have discovered the key to living the Christian life. Now, with that said, open your Bible, please, to the Gospel of John in chapter number 10. And I want you to look at a scripture verse with me this morning. John chapter number 10. Background, John chapter 9. Jesus heals this man that was born blind. Problem, he did it on the Sabbath. Problem of that, Jews said no work on the Sabbath. So they turned on Jesus. And the Pharisees said, this man you say is the Son of God is a sinner. And so when you come to chapter 10, Jesus is teaching, talking to these Pharisees, these Jewish people. And down in verse number 10, a verse we often quote, you know it backwards and forwards, but look what Jesus said. What a contrast. He said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But now look how he contrasts what he came to do. He says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it, meaning life, more abundantly. The word life is the Greek word zoe. It means a spiritual life. All of us have a physical life. We are born with a physical life. We're not born with a spiritual life. Jesus has come that we have a spiritual life. And then he says, not only that, but to have it more abundantly. That word abundantly, the idea is above the regular. See, many people, Christians, they just have a regular old Christian life. It's a drag, I can tell you that. Probably nothing more boring, really, than a just regular old Christian life. Jesus said, no, I've come to give you a spiritual life, And you can have it abundantly. And that little, those little words, if you look at it again, that they may have, there in a Greek tense, it means you can possess, you can have it, and you can continually possess it. It's not something you get and it kind of goes away. Jesus said, no, I've come to give spiritual life, and you can have it and continually possess it in such a way it is beyond the regular life. It's like the extraordinary life. And the key, here's the bottom line to that. The key to living the Christian life, if you want to have this kind of life, is your daily time with God. And that's what he's talking about. Question, how many Christian people would you say that you know on a day-by-day basis that have this abundant life? Something beyond the regular life. I know endless numbers of just old regular folks. Good folks. But I mean, other than they've trusted Jesus and they're saved, they don't seem to have much more joy, sometimes less than others that I know that not even Christian people. It's a very sad thing. Let me ask you, do you have this kind of life? That's the real question. Would you say that your Christian life is beyond the regular? Or would you just say, you know, you're kind of, you know, moderating along here somewhere? It's a very good question. You say, well, what's the important thing about this? Why is it so important? Well, this daily time with God is important for several reasons. Number one, you hear from God. If you have that's what happened to me in the hotel room. I don't particularly want to be in a hotel room 2 o'clock in the morning. Can't, you know, I don't have that experience often, but if I thought staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd have that experience. I'd never go to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't program that kind of thing. It just kind of happened. It had been working all that night as we were part of what was happening in that church, etc., and things we were talking about in the lobby. But the point is, when you're having a daily time with God, during that daily time with God, you hear from God. Number two, God hears from you. Number three, you live beyond the regular life. You say, well, that's all good, but let me tell you something better than that. In eternity, it will make a huge difference. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. Let me get you to mark a verse if you've not already done so. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, now this is what's going to happen. If you're a Christian, one day you will stand before God, not to be judged by your sins. You've already been judged by your sins or you wouldn't be standing before God. This is going to happen. You say, when will it happen? Well, I'll tell you what, today you're one day closer than you were yesterday. It's not as far off as you might think it would be. You say, well, we don't know when Jesus is coming. No, we don't, but we know this, one day you're going to die. And, you know, you may or you may not die before Jesus comes, but if he tarries again, if he continues to tarry, out here somewhere we all die. We have to die because of Adam and Eve's sin. It's not just that all people die. No, we have to die. And when we do, we will one day stand before God and look what will happen. Verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I must say this from my heart. I do not want to stand before God and God say to me, you never had time to be with me much. You were so busy getting up sermons, doing your job. This daily closeness with me, you were so busy doing my work. You didn't have time. We didn't have much time together. See, that's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. In any relationship, in marriage, in friendship, in whatever, in marriage. Suppose two people married, one says to the other, now every morning we're going to talk together for 3 minutes. And we'll talk again in the morning for 3 minutes. And we'll talk again in the morning for 3 minutes. That wouldn't be much marriage. That wouldn't be much marriage. No. The closeness people have has to do with the time people spend interacting with one another. Same with the Heavenly Father. This idea, I'll just go to church on Sunday, get a little of what they got going down there. Man, that thing will run me all week, and I'll hump my Bible next Sunday and go back down there and do it again. Well, that's better than not going to church, but folks, that's a far cry from having a close, intimate relationship with God. It's not built in all this. It's built in what we do daily in our life. Now, that said, I'm going to share things that I just am convicted are right. And I just ask you to consider what I share. Number one, the first of the day is the best for your daily time with God. I am convinced that is right. Now, many don't want to hear me say that. They say, oh, that's not right. You can have time with God. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible that tells us when to have time with God or how to have time with God. But I'm saying this to you. If you don't, the first part of the day, have some time with God, the day is just so full of so much stuff, no matter how good your intentions, the odds at nighttime, you say, man, I've just got to have a little time here with God. You're just so worn out by that time that time with God is not a very good time. I am convinced, and first of all, it puts God first in the day. And second of all, it prepares you for the day. And so I just encourage you in the morning. I'm not saying before you bathe, and all, I'm just saying sometime in the morning before you get out of that house and get into the business of this world, the best time, it's not the only time, the best time is the very first part of the day. Now, second conviction I have is there are reasons why time with God is so difficult to start and to maintain. I contend it's the most difficult thing in the Christian life is to have a consistent daily time with God in the morning. And there are reasons why. Let me give you the reasons why, some of them. Number one, the devil opposes it. The Bible says the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I assure you, the devil does not want you to begin each day with a time with God. That's one reason. Second reason is your flesh opposes it. Clock goes off. You say, oh my gracious, my flesh says you just need to lay here in this bed a little bit longer so you'll have strength for the day. Old flesh can carry on some pretty good conversation. And not only that, your mind opposes it. Your mind will imagine all kinds of things. Well, it doesn't make sense if I do this in the morning, night, or whenever. We just get to thinking all this stuff. Your mind will talk you out of doing what God would have you to do. But I think a big reason is most Christian people have never been taught how to have a daily time with God. They've heard a dabble here. They've heard a dabble there. They've read this. They've read that. Now, what I want to do this morning, this hard part of my sermon, and if you're a visitor, I just would say there's no way you can know my heart because you're a visitor. We're glad you're here. The members would know my heart. The last thing I would ever do would be to hold up my hand and say, now, folks, I am your example. No, Jesus is your example. And by the way, the Bible says Jesus rose early before the day would even break. He isolated himself to a deserted place and would pray to the Father. So Jesus is our example. But I am saying this, along my journey as being a Christian, like you, I've tried this and I've tried that, and this is work and that's not work, and I've learned the hard way, the school of hard knocks, just like you have. But I just want to share with you this morning what I'm doing in 2019 for my daily time with God first thing in the morning. And you just take it and you do with it whatever you choose to do with it. Now, you won't do the same thing I do, but you can take part of it and add to it, subtract from it. But I just thought, you know what? If I'm going to encourage people the first part of the day to have a daily time with God, it might be good they know what their pastor does. Okay, I'll just tell you what I'm doing this year. First thing I did this year, I decided to make some changes in my daily time with God. Not major changes, but some. And I just got me a new little black book. You can get any color you want. And I put my name on the outside, and I have little dividers inside. It says my prayers. I have a section for Dottie, a section for John, a section for Joel, Charlie Joe, Jody, Charlie Joe, and Joel Jr. And then I have a section for the church, and I have some other sections. So just have little dividers. I mean, it's no big deal. But it just helps me, and I have blank pages in to read. Now, I call my thing, you won't have this many. I have 7 steps that I do every morning, first thing. Every morning, first thing, 7 steps. And I'm going to give them to you. And you just think about maybe, But whatever, I would encourage you to begin with that morning prayer. Now, it's in the bulletin. That's why we didn't have an outline. We wanted to use that space. But when you leave today at both welcome centers and member services, there is this morning prayer on a sheet of paper, just like this, kind of hard. And I had it this way so you can take it and put it in your Bible. It'll fit in most Bibles. I thought this might be. Now, I do this every morning. Listen, John wrote this. It's in two of his booklets. Now, I don't just read this prayer. I actually pray a lot of what I read in the prayer, like this morning. It says, Dear Heavenly Father, now I start this morning at 5:20. That's when I started my quiet time this morning. You don't have to start at 5:20. Start when that's just when I needed to get started. Thank you, God, for the gift of this day. Now, like I stopped this morning, and I had a prayer meeting right there. I said, now, God, I really do want to thank you for the gift this day. It's the first Sunday in 2019. I'm 77 and a half years old, and I'm still preaching the gospel. And I checked my pulse and said, God, I'm not dead. I just thanked the Lord. I said, God, folks, listen to me. We just need to thank God for every day. Could I have an amen to that? Every day is not perfect, but I tell you what. Every day is a gift of God. So I have a little prayer meeting. Then I said, God, help me to trust you at every turn and to honor you throughout the day. Help me to live this day as the fullest, as though it were the last day of my life. You know, it may be, could be, for you too. Well, I had a prayer meeting right there. Then I read on. I begin this day by asking you to forgive me of my sins with the precious blood of Jesus. Cleanse my heart of every impurity. By faith I receive you. I just stopped this morning. I do it every morning. I said, now, God, Let me see. Do I have any thoughts that are impure? Has something run into my mind that I need to ask you? So I just have a real prayer meeting with this little prayer. Some mornings, I confess to you, I'll spend 20 plus minutes praying this prayer. It's more than just reading the prayer. Now that brings up an issue. You say, how long is your quiet time? Listen to me carefully. It doesn't make any difference. I'll answer it, but here's the deal. I'm convicted. You cannot have much of a quiet time with God and do really much of anything less than 30 minutes. You say, you've got to be out of your mind, Pastor. That is not even up for discussion. I'm just saying, when I finish here, you can cut out half of what I do. You just can't read. You'll be 10 or 15 minutes in this right here. There's been a morning or two that's been my whole quiet time. I never even got to some of my others. I did two of my others, but I have to skip them sometimes because of time. So that is my step number one. Now, my step number two are my 10 verses. You don't have to do my 10 verses, but maybe they're just a few verses that you need to make your verses. I have 10. I have them in a certain order. My office will be glad to email you my 10 verses. They're not secret verses. But they may not be what you need, but I read, I get my Bible and look at those verses. I can quote every one of them. But I want the Word of God, I want to see it with my eyeballs. So that's my 10 verses. Then when I've read my 10 verses, the third thing I do, I read my proverb of the day. Today is the 6th, so I read Proverbs 6. And three or four verses in that Proverbs took care of me. Then another one of my steps, my three families. Now you don't have this one. But every day, Monday through Friday, I pray for three families of our church. If they've sent in requests, and I think I need to send an email back, I write those emails out and get those things sent back. So sometimes that takes a little longer than it does other times, but I'm going to pray for my three families. Then my Bible reading plan. Now, in this year, John has put together two good Bible reading plans. I chose this one on the morning and evening plan. I've never done this. I thought I'm going to do something different. So I'm doing this plan. They're endless numbers of plans. Don't get, you know, the Bible doesn't say this is the only plan. Just get you some kind of plan. But this is an easy one, and the other one's a good one, and maybe you have one. So I do that. Then, after that, I read my Oswald Chambers devotion. Now, folks, listen to me. I brought my book. It is in sad shape, my book. Look, it's apart. It's a disaster. But you say, well, why don't you buy a new book? Because I don't want to. Look at this thing. Because I've got years of notes in here, things I've read. like this morning, I read January 6th, but I saw two lines in here that spoke to my heart this morning. I'd never marked them as many times as I've read this thing. So I read Oswald Chambers. Now, folks, listen to me. There are many, many, many great devotional books. There is no question that any Bible scholar, theologian, or whatever would say the classic devotion book in print today would be Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. It is, and this has been revised where it's in Goodreads. Now, you don't have to get no beat up book like mine. In the bookstore, here's the new one. There are these books at $12 each. I would encourage you, if you want to get a book that won't take you long, read each devotion. Every one of them won't speak to your heart, but it will feed your soul. That'll be the best $12 you've ever spent. Charles Stanley says, other than his Bible, he says it in the preface of this book, other than his Bible, Charles Stanley says, this book has been the most helpful book in his Christian life. So, bookstore has them if you'd like to pick them up. And then when I've done that, then I move into my prayer journal. I pray my prayers. I don't write down everything, but I write down what I need to write down. Then I go to Dottie and that's what I do. Now, you don't need my plan. Listen, you need your plan. And maybe today you'll just start saying, you know, God, I don't know what I need to do, but I need to do something. Well, here's the deal. It's January 6, 2019, and spiritually you are what you are. I mean, that's the deal. You are what you are. Everybody in this room, you just spiritually, you are what you are. You are either saved or you're lost. Doesn't mean you're bad. Some of the best moral people I've ever known are not Christians. And some of the sorriest human beings I have ever known tell me they are Christians. I can't figure that deal. But it's not for me to figure. God will do that. But I'm just saying, it's true. Everybody in this room, spiritually, you're either saved or you're not saved. Okay? Now, others in this room, you're saved. You remember back yonder when you were saved. Maybe not day, date, and hour, but you know you're saved. You're somewhere along the journey of your sanctification. You say, what? Big old long word just means be more like Jesus. That's how I'd explain it to you. So I was saved when I was seven and a half years old. I'm out here somewhere 70 years ago. Okay. I'm out here somewhere in my sanctification process. Not where I need to be yet, but I'm somewhere. So are you. You're somewhere. So that's where some of you are. And what you need to do, you need to move to the next level God has for you, which may be, listen carefully, to begin a consistent, good, morning, daily time with God. You don't have one. Doesn't mean you don't love God. The fact you're in church this morning, you wouldn't be here if you didn't love God. This isn't the issue. The issue is having a close relationship with God the Father. And you say, I want to do that. Okay, begin a morning quiet time. Just begin. Take some of what I've shared, pick up these helps, and start. Now, for others of you, you already have a time. Maybe it's not the morning. I would encourage you, give that deal a try for about a week or two, and you'll never move off of that. Some mornings you'll have more time, and I understand all that. Don't get beat up by that. Perfection is for the next life. Could I have an amen to that? No perfection in this life. Don't let the devil beat you. You flunked. You didn't go 30 minutes. No. If you did anything, you didn't flunk. Make a C is better than making an F. But maybe you need to move to the 30 minutes. So, for those this morning that say, you know what? What is my next step? Well, if you're not saved, your next step is to get saved. And you can do it this morning. First Sunday in the new year. What about it? You can just ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and make you a Christian. I want you to bow with me. I feel like maybe some this morning, that's what God's doing in your life, in your heart. You say, you know, I'm not saved. Others say, I'm not sure. Well, hey, let's don't live through 2019 like that. That's just not good. Just right now, let's settle that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I ask you now to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a Christian. I trust you, Jesus, to save me. In your name I pray. With heads bowed, others this morning, you know, that's not your next step. You've already done that. Maybe your next step this morning, right now, is to say, now, God, I do know what the pastor's saying. It's right. To have a daily time with you is the right thing to do. It changes everything. And God, help me to do that. Those of you that are already doing that, ask God to help you to grow in what you do. And then for some this morning, your next step may be to come and put your life in the church. We saw that in the 9:30 service. Wonderful decisions. This morning couldn't be a better time. So, Father God, it's your invitation time. Lord, I've just, this morning, this is a hard kind of sermon for me, God, because the last thing I want to do is say, look what I'm doing. God, I am so far. I mean, you know, God, how far I am from being what you want me to be. Gracious, gracious. It's not, look at what I'm doing. I guess it is saying, I am doing something. I'm trying. God, I'm just praying this morning, everybody in this room will have a want to in them. Have a want to in them to say, I really want to be closer to God. I really do. And the truth is, Pastor's right. Something kind of just keeps blocking me. This and that and yonder and things and whatever. The devil opposes it. Flesh opposes it. Our mind opposes it. Oh God, I'm asking you just to pour out your spirit. And this morning, may many say, God, I'm going to, best I can, I'm going to move to the next step. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.